This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Guess what? We're about to go out to another dad. His name is Doc Pandya. River Island's guest line, time for Cleared to Play. Inside the tent we go. We get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health. On this segment, here is Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Doc, do your kids cry when Debo goes to the hospital?
And when he has him on his fantasy team, he does, yeah.
My son was a little worried,
yeah.
Yeah, I had him on one of my leagues, and that 0.0 has been staring at me for a week already.
Yeah, no, it was a rough week for the 49ers, especially Debo, so hopefully better as we move forward.
Well, I mean, it seems like there's optimism. He's been released from the hospital. What can you tell people with regard to fluid in the lungs and how quickly you might be able to play football?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it's based on symptoms. You know, a lot of pneumonia, like pneumonia is inflammation in the lungs, and occasionally you can get fluid in there as well, too. And in fact, he's out of the hospital, number one sign. Number two, honestly, it's almost like a concussion where you have to slowly increase people in terms of how much they're doing. So have them do some stretching, able to breathe properly, you know, no fevers or anything like that. Then you start increasing how much he's going to run. And a lot of this is probably going to be a game time decision because it usually takes 5 to 7 days to get that respiratory function back. So maybe one of those decisions on Sunday was like, okay, go out there, see how you're doing. If you're running, not having any symptoms, feeling strong, and you go out there and play. So obviously a good possibility, but when you do hear that someone's in the hospital, you do say, you know what, is it really worth maybe playing this weekend? Let's take another weekend off and see how you do, because that gives you that extended period of time off. But totally a possibility if he's progressing well.
Could extreme exercise vis-a-vis a pro football game, could it exacerbate his symptoms?
It definitely could, yeah. If you have residual inflammation in the lungs, and even though there's not an active infection, what can happen? It's almost like getting an asthma attack. You're basically, something stimulates it, you're having trouble breathing, and whether that trouble breathing is coming from an infection or your airways over-aggravated, then absolutely that could do that. So one thing they could do potentially is say, we're going to put you on a snap count, we're going to have you play a certain number of snaps just to make sure your lungs don't get aggravated, because it's those long drives with repetitive running you get worried about. So absolutely, if he's playing, you know, 40, 50 snaps, that could absolutely aggravate any residual airway inflammation.
Doc, let's talk Brandon Ayuk, and based on what we do know, and all we know right now is ACL and MCL, is this something where Brandon could be ready by week one next year? What's he looking at?
Yeah, so in general with these ACL injuries, most of the time with MCL injuries, you don't have to fix them. The MCL kind of gets injured along with the ACL. So the MCL just probably means that there was a little bit more force that went across the knee. But the vast majority of these, you're just fixing the ACL. I think the key thing for him is whether there's any cartilage or meniscus damage, because that's what really, and they won't potentially know that till they're in there, what really can push back a timeline and make it more like 11, 12, 13 months as opposed to 9 or 10 months. Because the knee just responds a little bit differently. It's a little bit more swollen. There's more pain. It's hard to get back. I think the key thing for all of this is that when you look at wide receivers who come off ACL injuries, it's hard to get back to that same level of production. And there obviously are exceptions, and hopefully Brandon is one of those that doesn't have that drop in production. But obviously getting back is one thing, but you do worry a little bit about what's his production going to be like at that position, which is notoriously hard to come back from, running backs being the other position that's very difficult to do so.
Yeah, and hopefully when he's able to have the swelling go down and the surgery can happen, we'll get a little bit more clarity as to the severity of the damage. George Kittle again out today at practice with a sprained foot. What's your prognosis for him to be able to go out there and play Sunday night?
Yeah, he's dealt with these kind of injuries in the past. I mean, it seems like this point in the season, there's a hamstring, there's a quad, there's a foot. You know, I think a lot of this has to do with pain control. Typically, if it was a more serious ligament injury, you know, like something like a Lisfranc or something bigger, you'd obviously hear about it by now. But a lot of this has come down to, does he feel comfortable on the football field? Can he cut? Can he plant? And can he pivot? And because he's someone who's a veteran, he's played a lot in the league, there's no reason that he necessarily has to practice. He potentially can do some stuff on the side. And given that, you usually test these feet out, you know, the day before or on that, you know, that morning of. And if he's feeling good, then absolutely, I think he could play. He's dealt with these things before, so I think he knows his body well, and he doesn't necessarily need those practice reps to play on the weekend.
Doc, I wonder what your take is on sort of the arc of what we've heard about Christian McCaffrey, that the rehab has gone well, no setbacks. They're still kind of targeting week 10. At the same time, I just saw this from Matty Maiocco. 49ers did not open the practice window for McCaffrey today. He was observed rising a few inches off the ground while taking a handful of deep range shots at the basketball hoop in the locker room. What's your take on what you've heard?
You know, I think in general, the fact that there's been no setbacks is very positive. You're doing a slow, gradual ramp up with these Achilles issues. So no setback is good. The fact they're not opening up the practice window doesn't concern me at all. I just think they're probably just in a different phase in this rehab, and there's no reason to stress them out in terms of getting them in that practice setting. I think we're kind of over the hump in terms of him because we haven't heard of any setbacks of him actually coming back and playing this season. I think the key thing is that we don't know is after that first game, after that second game, how are those Achilles going to feel? So it's not necessarily, is he going to come back for me because he's been progressing well, but it is, how is he going to feel after a couple weeks of playing? And I think that's the great unknown. But Alston seemed to be on track for him to play, you know, that week 10, week 11, based on the reports.
Yeah, and the bad news on the backside of it is no more bye week. So when he comes back, he'll have to miss a game if he needs prolonged rest. I'm concerned about Juwan Jennings, who again was a non-participant with the hip. What sort of a return to play would he be looking at? And maybe would the bye week be something that might benefit him in his rehab?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think whenever you hear hip in general, and they're not saying, oh, it's a hip flexor issue, or it's like a hip pointer, you do get a little bit more worried. Is there some deeper structural issue going on? Did he have something going on with, you know, the cartilage in the hip? Is there something more serious in terms of a structural issue? So you kind of see him week to week. He's not practicing, haven't seen him really doing much. So I would not be surprised if this is one of those things where they're like, look, you got another bye week coming on. You know, this hip issue, if it is a cartilage issue or more serious kind of muscle or tendon issue, we'll give him that extra week off. But each week he's not participating in practice, I get a little bit more concerned. This is more than just kind of a muscle issue. But hopefully, you know, they give him this bye week off and he's able to play that following week. But yeah, something to watch closely. It's a little bit unclear what exactly is going on.
Doc, the question everyone's been waiting for. Who plays basketball tonight?
This is a little bit of a hope as well, too, but Moses Moody plays basketball tonight.
That's the correct answer.
Well, he gets to warm up.
That's the correct answer. Yeah. Well, whatever he does, he's going to get paid more for it now. So at least there's that. Yep. Doc, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. There is Doc Pandya. The Juwan Jennings thing didn't sound great there at the end.
No, and he is right, and I was kind of thinking the same thing about normally you get, oh, it's a hip bruise, or it's a hip pointer, or it's this, or it's that. The fact that it's been a hip, and we haven't really gotten clarity as to what it is, and yet it continues to linger, it doesn't make you feel good about it.
Well, no, and when I hear a beat writer say this before the practice week even started, but what I read yesterday morning, yeah, Juwan Jennings may miss another game. You know, those writers, those who are deep in there on a daily basis, they hear little things. And if you're willing to say that in print on a Tuesday morning, I'm going to go ahead right now and just file in my head that I think he's probably going to miss this game on Sunday night. I'd bet on that.
I would agree with you. And if it is iffy and you're going into a bye, I think the prudent thing would be to show some caution.
Yep.
And go ahead and hold him out. If it's something where maybe he could get hurt worse and now we're going to miss him for 4 weeks, then you hold him out and hope you can get the rehab done during this week and then the bye week, and then he's ready coming out.
I do like what Cosell said to us with regard to the X's and O's, the matchups. Forget like the way we look at games. It's the Niners versus the Cowboys. He's like, there's specific matchups on the field, and a bunch of them give an edge to the 49ers. So maybe this is a game where, like, if you don't have Juwan, but you do have Debo, Maybe if George is able to play, it does set up a defense that has not played well at all, especially in the trenches. Maybe you can, as Greg put it, get back to what you do really well. Put it this way. You got Jordan Mason or Debo on your fantasy teams, I'd wind them up this week because I feel like the Niners might try to smash the Cowboys as opposed to doing a lot through the air because they are going to be hampered as far as wide receivers are concerned.
Right, and you have the guy who is one of the leading rushers in football, and yet you weren't really able to get him going because he only carried it. And I'm looking here. Apologies to Greg. I should have stopped you in your tracks when you were erroneously saying he had 6 carries. He had 5 carries for 3 yards in the first half. So that, for me, is not establishing the run. And Kansas City did a good job against the run in that first half. The biggest gain was Kyle Juszczyk on 3rd and forever in that opening drive. And he went for 14. But other than that, you had 1 carry from Guerrero and 1 scramble from Brock.
Okay, so look, we've been telling you that Monty Poole's coming up, and he is, but he's going to push back a little bit because he's getting some stuff ready there in Portland for the Warriors game against the Blazers tonight, which you'll hear right here on 95.7 The Game. So we're going to have Monty at some point over the next half hour. All that means, though, a little bit more room for us, a little bit more room for you. So what if we threw this out? Just to dip our toe in the water of the optimism check. The Warriors have a new group. 888-957-9570. Does this feel more like a 40-win team to you? Or does it feel potentially like a 50-win team to you? Let's get some calls on that. Let's talk it out. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Bay Area, it's Kevon Looney. You're listening to Willer and Diggs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Diggs? I like your picks.
Hey!
That's my guy. That's my guy.
Loon couldn't rip anybody.
Wow. I have a feeling there's a version where he comes at me, but
he's too nice.
It's my guy, Kevon.
He's way, way, way too nice. I'm not doing this.
It is a fun experience for me, being me, when Grandy plays those rejoins, because when I haven't heard them like that one, and it leads up to one of two things, and I always look at Grandy, and he smiles. Probably a good poker player, because you don't give it away. Either way.
Yeah, if I'm complimenting you or if I'm bashing you, I smile through it all.
It's true. It's true.
There, although,
yeah, even though you'd prefer to bash than compliment, and we both know
that's
that.
True.
but you play it off pretty well. So I never know which way we're going.
Well, and I always feel like at any moment, we could get the exact opposite. Why did Matt Nahegan just walk in here?
He's walking. That was part sachet, part strut.
Well, thank
God.
That
was a strut shay.
Well, it's Wednesday. If this were Friday, I would predict we're about to get fired. But it's Wednesday.
I want to take people behind the scenes a little bit.
Okay.
I was in charge of the Warriors liners. Okay.
Which is what that was.
Right. So media day happens. Yeah. We get to send some liners to them to read. I had all this stuff typed out. And most of it was, dibs, your picks stink.
Nice, with the uptick.
And literally at the last second, I said to myself, you know what? I've known the Dibbers for 8 years.
Jeez.
He's a good man. I'm just going to write one line. Hey, dibs, I like your picks. So give me some credit. Because I could have just said, your picks stink, and had every one of them read that.
Yep.
But
yep.
I didn't.
So you gave them all the option.
No, I didn't give them the option. I forced them to say, dibs, I like your picks.
But they all haven't said that.
So they have,
there have been some that said your picks stink.
What I got out of that was he had to force people to be nice to you.
Which is not the first time.
He had to force people to like your picks. Nobody likes your picks.
Unlike his meetings, this feels a little bit incomplete. Because there are some Warriors who do say...
To take you behind the scenes even further, for every one of them that say they like your picks, they also say they hate your
picks. Exactly.
Yeah.
But the way he just portrayed that was he's some sort of a hero, like he didn't write the version of my pick stinks. I'm more confused now than I was before he strut shade in here.
Well, anyway, I'm confused.
Not that I need a part two.
Well, I'm confused because he's always telling us, make sure you got to tell the listeners what you're talking about. They're not waist deep in sports. They don't know that Debo was released from the, you got to tell. And then he walks in here and just uses the word liners.
That's like, what I'm saying.
Like, nobody knows what the hell that means.
Look,
liners are something that's under your silverware in a cabinet. They don't know what the hell. What does that mean? What's a liner?
It's in Foursquare, and liners are outs in Foursquare, which is why I fought Stuart Eccles back in 1979.
You did not know someone named Stuart Eccles.
And he was a bespeckled Stuart Eccles, and he got knocked out by the Dibber.
Of course he did. His name was Stuart Eccles. You picked on the only dude nerdier than you. I can't believe you.
First of all, he was a stretch four.
Stuart Eccles?
Knocked the glasses right off his face with the two-piece pop-pop.
Hey, what is the matter with you, by the way?
Nothing.
Why do you remember everyone's name?
Because
you're like...
It matters to me. People's names?
No, he doesn't. You punched him.
A couple times. We fought multiple times.
What?
And again, that's why I was 15-3-2 because I knew who to fight.
I love you.
You gotta fight,
there are moments where you're the oddest bird. Like, who are these people that you bring up all the time?
Stuart Eccles.
Who are they?
I don't know.
I should
Google where Stuart Eccles is now. He's probably a brain surgeon.
You're closer to 60 than you are to 50, and you know everyone you had lunch with when you were 8.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, don't you remember people from your past?
Yes, but not all of them, and not from when I was 6. And my mom invited someone over for a play date.
Ethan Newby, my best friend. Ethan and I went back.
Listen, I'm not even hating on it. I just want you to know that's different.
I get it.
You different.
Well, it's my life, and I live it, and I love my life, and so there's a lot of things that I remember about my life.
I want you to say they're not like us.
They're not.
They're not like you. We're not like you.
Yep.
We're not like you.
Sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes you got to remember Asha Kent and Ethan Newby and Stuart Eccles.
I know an Asha also. Asha Sharma.
Yeah, this is Asha Kent.
And mine was Asha Sharma.
Early crush Asha Kent.
Mine was just Asha Sharma.
Yeah.
There was nothing else there.
That's like a Jewish holiday. Where are you celebrating Asha Sharma this year?
You're making fun of her name?
I
can't believe you.
It sounds like Rosh Hashanah.
What if she and her husband are listening now and they're like 49 years old?
Let me just ask you one thing. What are you and the family doing this year for Asha Sharma?
There's a difference.
That's a damn
between
five.
Between Rosh Hashanah and Asha Sharma. Those are two different things. Things.
What are you doing this year for Asha Sharma? I think that's hilarious.
It already happened. It just happened two weeks ago.
Next year, then.
You have another friend named Kim Kapoor? I mean, you're making things up. Yeah, I sat next to a guy in geometry named Jonica. And he was a pretty cool guy. Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? At least the people I talk about are real people. You're just making stuff up.
Oh, yeah,
Jonica. He was a two-guard on my basketball team.
888-957-9570. If you went to school with Asha Sharma, I'll prove it to you. I think she's on Facebook. I pull it up. Her name's probably different now.
Yeah, she moves around a lot, like she's the holiday not, she's named she's after.
She's not a Jewish holiday.
Felt good about that joke. Felt good about it.
She had a good friend named Don Kipper.
Totally.
Anyway, 888-957-957. I got two Warrior questions for you.
Okay.
So instead of going, is it a 40-win team? Is it a 50-win team? Over or under 45?
Yeah.
You got to pick one.
That's a great number because the actual over-under is 43.5.
But we all think otherwise. It seemed everybody in the room agreed, right?
Yeah. 45 is a tough one. Last year, their over-under was 48.5, and it went under 46. This year, we're all talking about how the team is, quote-unquote, better, but they're older, and so the pratfall of injury becomes more of a possibility. And like with all these over-under win totals, you're really one big injury away from the whole thing going to hell in a handbasket.
So what would you pick?
If you're on the over.
What would you pick?
45? I would go over, I'd be holding my nose.
I'm over.
That's a tough one.
I'm over.
Yeah. And I think about it this way, and I said this during the crossover. If you want to talk about best case and worst case scenarios, now, not all the best cases are going to come true, and not all the worst cases are going to happen, but for me, the best cases that would get you over 45 wins might be more challenging than the likelihood of the worst cases dragging you under 45.
Okay, and here's the other question. Of everybody who's on the roster right now, who are you like most intrigued to see tonight?
Buddy Hield. And that's
I thought you would say that.
I mean, it's Buddy Hield because I think that he is, and Steve Kerr said it to us yesterday, very unique guy. He brings a certain amount of joy and exuberance, and Buddy Buckets is a nickname that he has earned because he's a guy that reminds me in a lot of ways of Klay Thompson, peak Klay Thompson, where, you know, Klay's just going to go out there and Klay's going to shoot. They bring in Kevin Durant and Klay openly says, well, he's not taking shots away from me. And I do think that Buddy Hield is going to be of the same mindset where I'm going to go out there and try and do what Buddy does, third person, and go out there and get my points,
well,
you know?
While we're doing third person, Steve Kerr came on the Willard and Dibbs show yesterday.
Nice.
He's going to do that every week throughout the basketball season. Don't know if you knew that. But this is what he said about what you're talking about Buddy Buckets.
Buddy is, number one, a breath of fresh air. I mean, I look forward to seeing him every day. He brings a joy and a lightness to work. He loves the game. He loves the process of putting in the work. And he's a hell of a player. I think he's second in the league in three-pointers made after Steph over the last 5 or 6 years. That's a pretty impressive number. So, you know, he's going to be a guy who we rely on for scoring off the bench and a lot of threes, but also a lot of energy. I just like the way he plays. I like the feel when we put him into the game.
Okay. So I bet that's a pretty popular answer. Mine would be Kuminga just because so much is on the line. You know, he's blonde now. And he's the focus right out of the gate, and he did not get the extension, and that's what everybody's looking at. Like, are you going to look like a bajillion-dollar player or not? You know, and I mean that doesn't get decided in one game, but that's the guy. That's the guy most like. Not I'm not saying like that's my favorite thing about this team.
Right.
That's the one I want to see. Do you look different? Do you look like a guy who is going to go get 20 points every night?
Right, and go get $40 million a year
would
be the thing. And it's hard because he has to do it for all 82 games. He can't just flash and then recede into the background. He's got to go out there and improve other facets of his game. I think that he can go out there and get you 15 or 16 a night without really improving offensively. So I want to see Jonathan Kuminga improve in the margins. Off-ball defense, rebounding, passing, three-point shooting is a part of scoring, I know, but all of the other things, the things that we don't know he's good at, I want to see him make those improvements. So, yeah, I'm with you on Kuminga.
888-957-9570. Over under 45 wins. Who is the player you really are most excited to see play? Warriors and Blazers tonight. Our coverage starts in 90 minutes. The game starts in just about 2.5 hours. Will from the East Bay is on. Hi, Will. Thanks for calling.
Well, good afternoon. Once again, good to talk to you guys. Let me put my dreidel down here for a second.
Nice.
Talk to you. Hey, listen. My obsession is always, I'm being redundant here, but after watching the Olympics, and I'm an Olympics freak, okay, and watching Steph Curry win the gold medal for the Americans, okay, and he did. My addiction is always going to be on Steph, but I concur with Willard. I'll go with Jonathan Kuminga. I want to see what he brings to the table. Cup is half full, 50-plus. Got another thought on what you were talking about, okay? And this is the young man, the rookie, Ricky Pearsall, who got shish kebab by a bullet, spent a couple months in the hospital and came back. And I heard the same things on TV and on radio that you guys heard, the audacity to sit there and critique his, you know, yards of separation or after the catch. Give me a effing break here, okay? So what's next? You're going to have a running back maybe get in a head-on collision, be in intensive care for a week, and he's going to come back and they're going to go, well, he only had 3 yards per carry this week, okay? Leave you with one last thought. Has a rookie ever received a Comeback Player of the Year award? And I will leave you with that. Thank you guys, as usual, for taking my call.
Yeah, Will, thanks. I don't even know if they're eligible.
Right, I don't think so.
I don't think they're eligible.
Somebody had that in Matt Barrow's mailbag today, and he basically just laughed at the person.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, it's an interesting question. The guy got shot.
Right.
He got shot, and he played in week 7. That's kind of bananas. How many weeks in was Brian Robinson? Remember, he got shot. The Commander's running back.
Yep. This year he got shot?
No.
But last year?
No, same thing, I think. I think it was the same thing when he was like a rookie. And they drafted him to kind of be the starter, and then he got shot, and it got delayed. And then he played. I don't know.
He got shot twice in the right leg in August.
Okay.
Late August. So
same thing. Ricky was late August.
Mm-hmm.
And not that, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's amazing that both of them were fine and able to come play football. But
yeah, like August 28th, wow.
Almost to the day. So, like, Ricky, to be shot in the chest and play week 7 is pretty amazing. So I get the sentiment behind, like, is he Comeback Player of the Year? But they do have rules on that now, and I don't know if he's eligible. I would think not.
Yeah, I don't think that he would be, but, I mean, it's a pretty remarkable story, certainly, and to come back that quickly. And I'm looking at Brian Robinson's game log, and he played October 9th. So he missed 4 games. He got shot in the leg twice and missed the first 4. Then he came out, and he had 9 carries in week 5.
Okay,
yeah.
So there it is. So even quicker.
Even quicker.
Wow.
And golly. I'm not saying getting shot in the leg. I've never been shot, period, but shot twice in the leg as opposed to the chest. Probably not as serious, but as a running back getting shot in the leg,
right? A little less serious, but yeah, still, you know.
Shot twice.
A bullet.
Yeah. 2 bullets.
2 of them. Larry and Lafayette next up. We're going to try Monty Poole here in about 10 minutes. Hey, Larry, what's up? You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Well, I'm looking forward tonight to watching both Kuminga and Moody, because I think the thing they have not yet shown is that they're capable of playmaking for their other teammates. The last few games, they're getting 15 to 17 each, but no assists at all. And I think that's crucial to the team movement just making them more aware of looking around and playing the entire floor and not just looking for their shot.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, Larry, what if I threw this at you? There are I'm with you on ball movement, but there are certain players. Klay Thompson was one of them, by the way, who are never going to amass a lot of assists because it's kind of like not what they're doing on the court, you know?
No, I'd agree, but I think with the pace that we're going to be playing on and the fact that these two guys are both young and with some speed, they're going to have a lot more opportunities. And to be honest, just watch them. They're not really looking for their teammates, even on fast breaks. So I really think that's part of Kerr's philosophy. And I think that also bringing the ball up for Moody is a bit of a challenge right now if he's pressed. I think he's got to be a little bit better ball handler so he can take a little pressure off of Steph.
Larry, thanks, man. It's an interesting call. I'll tell you one thing he just made me think of, and as we're sitting here talking about Kuminga, and I would definitely vote for him as the one I have the most curiosity about. I also think there's a challenge that's baked into this year for Kuminga, and it's anybody who's in his position, who's, quote, betting on themselves. In other words, nope, they're not signing a contract. They're going to go into what would be considered a lame duck year if you were a coach, and you're going to play it out and see what happens. Joe Flacco famously did this with the Ravens, won the Super Bowl, made a truck full of money. It's that kind of thing. I wonder, though, because this is basketball, Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to fight the urge to force it. And maybe it even goes to what Larry's saying. Like, he's not looking to pass. Well, I don't know if Jonathan Kuminga is supposed to look for the pass first, but you do want the ball to move, and you don't want him to force it. In fact, I'd argue it's what he's not good at. Jonathan has worked on a shot. Let's see if he's got it. He's a great finisher. But if you're just facing up one-on-one, go to the rim, it gets a little wild sometimes with Jonathan. And let's be real. He's going to want to put up 20 points a game. He's going to want to justify a massive extension. And so I wonder how he's going to navigate the idea of stats versus the right thing to do on any given possession.
Depends on what the people closest to him, his coaches and his advisors, are telling him is important. And the other thing about this is he's going to be a restricted free agent, which means another team can give him an offer and then the Warriors have to match that offer. So for Kuminga, it's about showing the other 29 teams exactly who you are.
Yep.
And how much they're going to want you in the offseason, because if you play the right way, and that doesn't just mean going out and trying to get 22, 23 points a night, which he could probably do. Percentages go down, win-loss probably goes down at the detriment of the overall team concept. If he plays the right way and develops in the other areas, I think then he can go out there and show people, look, I improved my rebounding, my assists, my defense was better, my three-point shooting was better, and yes, my points per game went from 9.9 my second year to 16.1 last year, and even if it doesn't go up, really, if the rebounds go up and the assists go up and the defense is better and all the rest of it, he's going to get his money.
Warrior fans, where are you? I know you've been chomping at the bit. This is the longest wait we've had for a Warrior season in forever. They didn't even make the playoffs. So this is your opportunity to really talk this out. One of many opportunities obviously coming, but 888-957-9570. Would you take the over or the under on 45 wins? And if you had to pick one player you were really excited to see tonight, who is it? Let's take your calls. While we're talking Kuminga, Steve Kerr said this to us yesterday on the situation he's in with no contract extension.
That's just normal negotiation stuff. I mean, we want JK here for the long haul. And obviously, I want him to have a great year and put himself in a position next summer where we agree to a contract and you know, I want one that he's thrilled with and that we're happy with as well. So that's the plan. You know, I think for JK, it's a matter of continuing to get better like he's been doing for the last 3 years. I think everybody wants everything to happen right away, but for young players especially, it rarely works that way. But if you just look at JK's arc of development, you know, he is dramatically better now than he was 3 years ago. So you just got to keep working, keep getting better at everything that we're teaching every day.
Yeah, it's interesting. Steve kind of answered it the same way he answered negotiations about himself throughout the year last year. Like, just relax. Normal negotiation stuff.
Yeah.
And that's true. I think it's also more complex than that behind the scenes. Jonathan Kuminga has not proven yet that he is worthy of that number, my opinion.
The number that he was asking for is a number that was given to some people in his draft class, but those people had proven more than he's proven, and that's fair to say. So if Jonathan Kuminga would have come in and said, look, I just want $30 million a year. Give me the Jordan Poole contract, and I'm good. They probably would have found a way to get that done. Moses Moody, in his same draft class, got a contract done because he got, what, $39 million over 3 years?
Yeah, so, 13 a year.
Yeah, 3 and 39 for Moses, which is a good number. Now, could Moses have gone out this year and played better and earned more? Maybe. Or
maybe
he could have been
no
buried in the bench and he doesn't get minutes right. And he doesn't get that money. So the Moody negotiation was a lot more straightforward, where it was 3 and 39, and Moses probably looked at it and said, you know what? It's good. I'm still young. I'll do the 3 years. And at that point, I'm 26. And now maybe I'm ready to flourish somewhere. And then I'll get the bag. If you're Kuminga, you're on the cusp of getting that bag now, but he wanted max money, and the team is probably saying, let's slow your roll a little bit. Let's see one more year of you taking that step up. Then he's going to get the bag.
Let's go to Telmo in the city here on Willard and Dibs next. Hi, Telmo. What's up?
Hi, fellas. How you guys doing? So just first and foremost, I'm going to make this quick, but just thank you for I've avoided sports radio all week because I knew it was going to be a hot take doom spiral after that 49ers game. I love Guru. I love Monte. I love Shasky. But I know their emotions were going to be all over the place, and I just couldn't deal with it. But you guys had the one Mr. Greg Cosell and the doc on, and it is strictly information and science-based conversations, and that's such a breath of fresh air, so thank you. The one player I want to watch tonight is Buddy Hield, because I think with Clay being gone, I'm looking to see if he can be that guy, whether it's off the bench or he's closing out games, whatever the situation is, that could come in and give the Warriors 18 to 20 points consistently, give them, 39, 40% three-point shooting, and just be that consistent, that consistency that we wanted to see from Clay that we didn't necessarily get in the last year, maybe even the last 2 years. I'll take the rest of it off the air. Thanks,
okay.
Fellas.
All right, Telmo. Thank you for the call. It's a good call, but don't you ever avoid sports radio for an entire week ever again.
Need you.
Don't you ever do that. No, I think actually he gave me the name of my next year's fantasy team. Hot Take Boom Spiral.
It's pretty good. Hot Take Doom Spiral, yeah.
Was it Doom?
Doom.
Yours is better. Hot Take Doom Spiral.
Yep.
I mean, that's intimidating. I'm in. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Let's grab Monty Poole and talk some more Warrior basketball. And let's go. Your calls throughout the 5 o'clock hour. Which Warrior are you most excited to see? And are you over or under 45 wins for this team? 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
Hey, it's Buddy here. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Straightforward, clean, come correct. Let's ride. We got a basketball game in just over 2 hours. The Warriors season is upon us right here on 95.7 The Game. We'll get back to your calls in just a second. We want to hop right in with one of our favorites, Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, River Islands guest line. Hey, Monty, how you doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
We're doing great, man. I wonder, especially someone who's around the team as much as you are, if you could compare the vibe of what you're seeing with this group when compared to whatever they were dealing with Clay last year and whatever they were dealing with Jordan and Draymond the year before.
Night and day. Everybody is really kind of spreading love toward everybody. It's like they've been at a kumbaya camp. And a lot of the new guys that come in have made a difference. Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, DeAnthony Melton. They came in and they've been professional. They've been affable and funny and everything. Buddy is like everybody's favorite friend now, Buddy Hield. So there's a different vibe. And last year, obviously, Clay was Clay went from being no maintenance early in his career to last year was a tough one for him. And that kind of was something that kind of permeated throughout the team. as well as Draymond's absences. So you look at what happened last year. I think this year the vibe is a lot more positive.
What about the on-court fit as you've seen it so far through the preseason and what you expect from, you know, like you said, the veterans coming in and fitting in off the court? What about on the floor? How will the on-court product look different than last year?
They'll shoot more threes and make more threes, I think, as a team. The preseason, I don't know if that was necessarily the level they're going to shoot in terms of the amount of volume of threes, but there will be nights when I believe they'll hit 50 attempts from three. And they've got enough guys who can make those shots. So you look at, I mean, I think Buddy can kind of give you what Clay gave you. A guy, you know, they wanted Clay off the bench last year. They tried that. I think Buddy is a better fit for that role. And, you know, he's, I think only Steph's made more threes than Buddy over the last couple of years. So that's good for him. DeAnthony Melton is an elite perimeter defender. They need that. Who can also shoot threes. Wiggins, Draymond shot 39% last year from three. I don't know if he can replicate that, but if he comes close, that's a boost too. Wiggins is going to shoot threes. They want him to shoot at least six a game. So guys are going to be shooting more threes and making more threes, and I think the floor will be spread in ways last year that it wasn't quite spread when Steph or Clay were off the floor.
Monty, do we have a starting lineup yet?
Not been announced yet, but I'm still believing that that he's going to end up with, if I had to guess, I'm going to say, obviously Steph is going to be a point guard. But I think I keep hearing that the two guards going to be, well, that they like what they've seen from Melton at the two guard.
Oh.
They also like the size that they get from Wiggins. And Wiggins, Steve Kerr has always said that Wiggins and Klay Thompson are in many ways interchangeable. And I talked to Andrew a couple of days ago and about playing the two, and he said it's not really much different from what I've been doing. He said, still the same thing. I'll take the most difficult perimeter challenge on defense. He said, I may shoot a few more threes. That's the one thing. He said, if I make threes, it'll open up my drive to the basket. So I think they're going to go with Andrew at the three, if I had to guess. I mean, they tried it the preseason, and it sort of worked, but I think – whether it's tonight or next week or next game, I do believe that's the only way they can get Kuminga and Draymond on the floor at the same time. And I know they want Kuminga to start. They don't want to bring him off the bench. So I think that their lineup is going to eventually be, tonight or beyond, Steph, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, and Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Trayce Jackson-Davis, that would be the five. Okay, and here's the opposite side of that question. If you had to guess who's kind of like the odd man out tonight, who would it be?
Tonight? Well, I mean, Steve Kerr has already told a couple of guys they're not in the rotation, so they know that. I mean, Lindy Waters is a guy that can really shoot, but he's not in the rotation right now. And I think what's going to happen with the Warriors in their rotation this year, because of their depth, I think that the rotations will change in somewhat toward the back end based on matchups. In other words, I think you'll see the same seven or eight or nine guys. I think you'll see the starters. You'll see Melton. You'll see Kyle Anderson. You'll see Buddy Hield for sure. I think Gary and Podzimski, you'll see those two. I think after that, and maybe even including a couple of those guys, it could change from night to night. Tonight, Portland, you know, not a very strong, not a very good team. You know, Portland's going to finish toward the bottom of the conference once again. And so I don't know how much experimenting Steve would want to do, but tonight might be a night where if they get off to a good start, he may be able to do some experimenting. But I think when you look at where the team is right now and who's going to be the odd person out, I know they want Moody to play, and he deserves it. He's earned the right to play. He's been good. So, out, besides Lindy, I can't pin anybody down. I'm not sure Steve can either right now.
And maybe it's Kevon Looney, a guy who, you know, if Trayce Jackson-Davis comes in and plays well and continues to show improvement, might he be a guy who ends up suffering from a lack of minutes?
Well, in certain instances, yes, there will be nights when he won't play. And there will be nights when he will play, And because I think what Steve would like to do is have Trace play 25 to 30 and then have Draymond play 12 or so minutes at the five. And then that may leave a few minutes for either Kyle Anderson, who can play the five, or Looney, depending on matchups. If you want defense, you probably go with Looney in terms of interior defense and rebounding. If you want playmaking, you want a point five, then you've got Kyle Anderson, who can play much like Draymond on offense as a guy who can distribute and also make a few shots. So that's where the matchup things come in. You know, you look at the opponent and see what you're facing and figure out which guy best suits that particular situation.
Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, with us. Monty, look, it's obviously beyond early. We don't know what's going on here, but the improved vibes, maybe a little bit more of an intuitive roster. How do you see it stacking up in the West?
I think they're going to be a little better than people think they are. Most people are predicting they'll finish 8th, 9th, or 10th. I think they can get out of that. Obviously, you need to make sure that Steph is out there and healthy. Draymond can't be missing 30 games and all of that. There are some other things there. But I think if you get what you expect from Steph and Draymond, I think this team can get to 6 or 7. And I also think that they will make a trade on the approach to the trade deadline. This is a team built to make a trade. When you got 13 guys who are able to play at this level, there will come a point in time when you say, okay, I can give up 3 to get one guy that I know can be a secondary star. And I think that's going to happen.
That's an interesting statement. You got any names in mind?
Well, I think the names will come as the season goes on. But I know Mike Dunleavy is already – we can throw out names, but I don't think that means anything right now. We know what they tried to do in the offseason with Paul George and Lauri Markkanen, and we know that didn't work. But that doesn't mean that they've given up now and packed up their tent and heading out and said, okay, what we have is what we live with. They will still be looking. And I think what happens as you approach a trade deadline, some teams are buyers and some are sellers. But right now, it's too hard to say who is going to be who.
Monty, great to have you as we get ready to start this thing up. I know we'll be talking to you again soon.
For sure. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks, Monty.
There it is. Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Warriors season starts in 2 hours.
And that, I think, for me, is one of the real interesting things to watch throughout the course of the year is how the rotations change based on who they play, obviously who's healthy and whatnot. But, you know, when you have a team that you need to play better defense against, you go to your defensive guys off the bench. And if you have a team that you need to put up 130 against, you go to more of your offensive players off the bench. It's going to be even more challenging for Steve Kerr this year than last year, trying to mix and match based on opponent.
Well, I mean, he brings up a really strong point and that you're talking about right here. I mean, I said this to him yesterday. You can call this a good problem to have. It's really not. It's not. It helps you when someone gets hurt, and what I'm talking about is the depth of this roster. Like, that's wonderful that you feel like you've got, what, 7 guys who all kind of give you the same output or the same opportunity. That's great, and we love that phrase in this town, strength in numbers. That's wonderful. But let's be real. If these guys are all healthy and all on the team, there's going to be a few guys pretty ticked off every night.
Well, that's where coaching comes in, yep. You know, and they could be ticked off, but it's up to Steve Kerr and his staff to communicate to them the what and the why. And ultimately, it's also his job to make sure those guys are ready to go when they are going to be needed. And you've got looked at the schedule a little bit ago. They've got 14 back-to-backs this year, which is not the most in the NBA. It's not the fewest. It's 14 nights where all those guys who don't play in one half of the back-to-back should be ready for the second half, because when you've got 12 guys who you can play and you've got a couple of older guys who maybe want a day here and there, the guys who don't play from night to night, you got to be ready for when your number is called. So I do think it's a good problem to have for Steve Kerr, and I think he's a perfect coach to navigate this challenge when you've got more players than you have spots available.
Right. So, but we did this already once, and maybe you could give me a couple names, but I'm going to give you 12 names, and you tell me,
yeah,
like, who is it okay to hand out DNPs to on a consistent basis?
Right.
I mean, the names, okay, Andrew Wiggins, Brandon Pajemski, GP2, Moses Moody, DeAnthony Melton, Kevon Looney, Jonathan Kuminga, TJD, Buddy Hield, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Kyle Anderson. That's 12 names. They're all here to play. You don't play 12 people in the NBA.
Right.
You don't do that.
Did you name Kevon in there?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, he's a guy who's going to get a lot more DNPs than ever before.
All right.
And he started to last year. He had his games played streak broken by a DNP, coach's decision.
Sure.
Steve said on our show that it was heartbreaking, but it was what had to happen. Moses Moody is the fascinating one for me because he was that guy last year where, all right, we have 11, we can only play 10. Moses, it's going to be you who loses the minutes. But assuming health for everyone, I do think that at times it'll be GP2, depending on how he's doing. But then again, he's your best perimeter defender. So if you're going up against a team that has a really good guard or a good wing player, you want him on the floor. Huh. And Buddy Hield is instant offense off the bench. And Kyle Anderson is the exact kind of player that Steve Kerr loves.
Yep.
He's a veteran who can play well on both ends of the floor. Same thing with D'Anthony Melton, so you're not going to sit him. Pods is a guy who I thought might start, but he's going to be a key piece off the bench. Trayce Jackson-Davis is really your only true size. Draymond's a great stretch five. Kevon's a center, but 6'9", and he can't jump. So when you start picking through it, I don't know. It's going to have to be a different guy night in and night out.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, that's one
like
of the
tonight,
things.
Like tonight, right? It was a great question for Monty.
Yeah, like, who
is it tonight?
Who, like, and he went through and he ended with, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Who gets screwed tonight?
Yeah. Like, he gave us Lindy Waters, and it's like, yeah, I don't know if anybody was even expecting that.
Well, he's not in your top 12.
Yeah.
I don't think.
No, he's not.
Right. He's a guy who just came up from the G League, and he's a good scorer, but he's more of an injury insurance player than anything.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.